This is the Oanda Podcast, brought to you by Jazz FM's Business Breakfast.
Welcome back to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, brought to you with the Jazz FM Business Breakfast. I'm Johnny Hart. Each week I'm joined by Oanda Senior Market Analyst Craig Earlham to review the stories that made the business and market headlines.
This was a major breach of trust, and I'm really sorry that this happened. We have a basic responsibility to protect people's data, and if we can't do that, then we don't deserve to have the opportunity to serve people.
We've made rapid progress across the wider withdrawal agreement, reaching agreement on much of the legal text and locking down entire chapters.
We have a tremendous intellectual property theft situation going on, hundreds of billions of dollars. They have barriers that they can trade with us, but we can't trade with them. It's just not fair.
So let's get the thoughts of Oanda Senior Market Analyst Craig Earlham. Craig, quite a week. We've just heard a few audio snippets. We had the UK-EU transition deal, the Cambridge Analytica scandal, which hit Facebook, central banks announcing their decisions on rates, and the trade war hotting up between the United States and China. But what was your market moment of the week?
Well, I think this week's quite difficult because we've been spoiled for choice. There is so much to talk about this week, and to narrow it down to one is very difficult. I guess the one difference between the one that I've chosen and the others, a lot of these big, important front page events haven't necessarily moved the markets in a substantial way, but there's one event this week which has both moved the markets, but it's also a bit of an old story that's been rumbling on, and that's this fear of trade wars. We saw the US stock markets make big losses on Thursday. We saw that reverberate through to Europe and Asia overnight. China faring quite badly, although there is some speculation that there may have been some intervention. This is a big global story, and it looks as though in the last couple of days that's really escalated with the tariff announcements, with the retaliatory announcements, and again with that speculation of possible currency wars as well.
And stock markets were certainly hit by fears that Donald Trump's plan for tariffs on up to something like $60 billion worth of Chinese products could trigger a trade war. But China's responded to the planned tariffs by saying it doesn't want a trade war, but, quote unquote, absolutely is not afraid of one.
Exactly, and that is the kind of message which you would expect from the world's second largest economy. Donald Trump may have picked a fight with the wrong people. Mm. What's interesting, though, we've seen a change in tone towards the EU. That's been delayed. Maybe Trump decided that's not a fight worth picking. When it comes to China, China has bitten back, but when we look at the tariffs, $60 billion from the US, $3 or $4 billion from China. The numbers aren't quite so similar. This looks like China saying, we're ready for a trade war. We do not want one. Here's an idea of what we can do, just to give you an impression. And if this is what you want to pursue, then so be it. But we desperately, desperately would rather sort this out at the negotiating table.
It's difficult to tell which way this is going to go, isn't it, really? But stock markets certainly don't like it. And they've lost big numbers this week because of it.
Well, what is there to gain from a trade war when you are a company? Yes, there's going to be individual companies like US Steel and aluminium companies. They could benefit from this. What about other companies in the US who depend on cheaper steel and aluminium? What about countries abroad? What about the retaliatory measures, like we've said before, with these targeted measures either at certain industries in the US which are important to US as an economy or specific US states, so very targeted measures. No one wins in this, and this is the fear that tends to reverberate through the markets, and it's such a shame as well because it comes at a rare time when we are seeing progressing solid growth globally, and now we're seeing something that's man-made, avoidable, that is threatening what has been a good couple of years.
Let's talk about something that was avoidable, Brexit. So much going on, and oddly, the Brexit transition deal in any other week would have been the top story. But it's been a good week for Theresa May and for her Brexit team, hasn't it? And all those doom mongers are going to have to start eating humble pie, are they not?
4 days ago seems such a long time ago given the week we've just had, but like you say, that would have ordinarily been a massive week. I think Theresa May has achieved a deal which any moderate person would have seen as likely and achievable and acceptable. It's wrong that we are being told we're leaving the EU in March of 2019. if there was ever going to be a transition, the EU was never going to allow us access to the single market with the benefits of not being in the EU. The transition deal was always going to very much reflect what's currently in place with a few minor tweaks. So the complaints which we are hearing from people with regards to the common fisheries policy, with regards to free movement or contributions to the budget, these are ridiculous. And ultimately, people who voted for Brexit care far more about a smooth and orderly exit from the EU than they do about exiting the EU on March 2019, although when you listen to some people, you really would believe otherwise.
With respect to the people in the fishing industry, they're very much a bit player in this, aren't they? And perhaps a sacrificial lamb, but actually, when you look at the bigger picture, it doesn't make much difference, does it?
This is always the problem with these kind of industries. They're not necessarily important nationwide, but they are important to the areas in which they are a big part of the community, yeah. A big part of employment, a big part of income. The thing that I really have a problem with here is the likes of Nigel Farage, is the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg using these people. People who ultimately, in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, they will not care about, to try and push their own agenda of wanting a quick exit from the EU, because this, in my view, is wrong. I think people do want the fishermen protected in this exit deal. It may be a small, and some may argue, insignificant part of the economy, but as we've seen in other parts of the country, when you severely damage an industry which is very important to a small, specific region, then that can have long-term impacts on people's livelihoods, and therefore is something that should be protected. But using this as a cog to get what you want, I'm not sure I'm quite on board with that.
Do you think this has been the best week for the Prime Minister since the general election? I mean, if you look on top of the transition deal, she's received a lot of support from her EU counterparts over the Russia situation as well. Who knows? Maybe Theresa May will fight the next election.
I mean, the election itself was certainly a low bar to set. It's not difficult to have a good week in comparison to that. I think it has been a good week for Theresa May, and the funny thing is, her weakness may have actually benefited her when it comes to these negotiations, because if you're a member of the EU, if you're Michel Barnier, if you're Angela Merkel, if you're Jean-Claude Juncker, better the devil you know. And the last thing that they want right now is to do anything that's going to weaken an already very weak Prime Minister, an already very weak government, and risk her getting usurped by another member of her team. And there's a very good chance that should Theresa May be forced to stand down because the EU's being a bit too hard on the UK and she's not getting anything that resembles a good deal, it could be Jacob Rees-Mogg that they're fighting. It could be Boris Johnson they're fighting. It could be any one of a number of strong Brexiteers. So the EU don't want that either. So almost Theresa May's weakness may actually work in the benefit of the UK.
And the big problems with Russia may have worked in her favour because of this, do you think?
I think it certainly does. It's just a very good reminder that the EU, whether we are one big trading bloc or whether we are one big cooperating bloc, it doesn't really matter. The important is there is threats out there and we need to remain united in one form or another. And I don't think having a disorderly Brexit is going to help when you have got these threats coming from afar.
And the transition deal saw a rise in the pound, which was also boosted by the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee split over those interest rate rises. There was no rate rise, of course, but the two dissenting members, it was a 7-2 vote, had an effect on markets, didn't they?
They did, because although markets were widely pricing in a rate hike come the May meeting, when we'll get the new economic projections, which is typically a good opportunity for central banks to raise interest rates, the fact that we had two already voting in favour of a hike is a very good warning from the Bank of England that momentum for another hike is very much building.
So it's nailed on now, isn't it, for a May increase in base rates?
I don't think you ever say nailed on, but it certainly seems that way. The markets are heavily pricing this in now, and I would be extremely surprised if come May we do not get a interest rate hike from the Bank of England. The question for me, more important than May, and I do think they've gone premature, but more important than May is whether they now push for another one this year, which I think would be a mistake.
Billions wiped off the value of Facebook shares, Craig, following the Cambridge Analytica scandal. We heard earlier on Mark Zuckerberg attempt an apology. It wasn't enough for some. I mean, he's a guy who's not used to being on the back foot, is he?
He's not. And this is one of these situations which was almost inevitable for a company like Facebook. Yet people haven't really seen it coming, is it fair to say? I think when a company has access to that volume of data, and as we know quite clearly now, when you have access to all that data, this isn't just something that means you can be targeted at for adverts or for marketing. It also means that you are open to manipulation. And this has now materialized as a big problem. There's a lot of people who are very, very angry with Facebook right now, and there's probably a certain amount of damage which cannot be undone. So the question is now, what is his damage control measures like, and how does he get out of this looking good, regaining people's trust and faith in Facebook?
And not just Facebook, a lot of the big tech giants are going to start to worry about this sort of situation, aren't they?
Well, there's a lot of these tech companies which make a lot of their money, get their value from us as consumers through our data, not necessarily through us consuming their products. This isn't like Amazon, and Amazon probably has access to a lot of data now because the amount of people who actually use their products. I say probably, definitely. There's some companies who rely a lot on the data, and then there's another thing that Facebook relies on, and that's the marketing. And this is something which has been threatened as well, because there's going to be a lot of companies now, and there is already a lot of companies speaking out, saying we are not too happy aligning ourselves with a company that's lost the trust of the very consumers we rely on to make our living.
Let's not forget we've got GDPR coming up at the end of May.
GDPR is exactly targeted at this, protecting consumers with regards to data. So it seems that the EU may have been a little bit ahead of the curve with this, but equally, it's also worth noting that does this GDPR go far enough? The likelihood is it's not. This is going to be a trial and error thing because these systems are extremely sophisticated. This is an industry which needs close regulation, and at the moment there just isn't any.
It's not something I've heard you say very often, EU ahead of the curve.
Yes, I do think the EU is getting ahead of the curve on these things, and it is quite unusual, but it is also encouraging because it shows that they are taking tech extremely seriously and they are looking at ways to manage it. And this isn't just data in terms of GDPR. We look at the tax which they're looking to impose. This tax probably isn't perfect, but it shows that they're trying to treat tech like everyone else and trying to find a way to manage it to protect the consumer, but also not let them get away with paying the minimum amount of tax in the easiest place possible. The EU is taking tech very seriously, and I expect that to continue.
Finally, Craig, another really dispiriting week for high street retail. New look, closing stores, problems for Carpet Right, the end of Toys R Us and Maplin, and even the former darling of the high street, Next, announcing profits down 8% after what the retailers described as the most challenging year for 25 years. It really is going from bad to worse.
It is. These are high street names which we've all grown up with and grown to love to an extent. We had one week when we were able to reflect positively on some of the names that we know, and now it seems that we're back to these dour stories. A pasta Maplin on the way, and then it really is quite sad to see this situation unfolding where we are seeing a lot of these names that we know, we trust, facing significant challenges to the point of administration, liquidation. It shows that there's a massive challenge on the high street right now. The problem that I have with this, there's a number of things that you can point at. The online presence we've talked about before, and that is going to be part of the reason behind some, not all of the problems. We've talked about some of the other problems as well with business rates. We've talked about some of the problems linked to higher minimum wage, etc., etc., etc. My question right now is, what exactly is the government doing? Because we are seeing name after name after name after name going to financial difficulty, going to administration, going to liquidation, and I've heard no ideas from the government in how they can try and relieve the pressure on the high street.
I think they're a bit clueless, really, because, as we know, it's mainly down to online taking huge amount of market share. Of course, business rates is a problem, minimum wage is a problem, but online is the big elephant in the room, isn't it?
I think it is, and I think online in itself is a big challenge for these companies to deal with. And if it wasn't for business rates, if it wasn't for a depreciating pound after Brexit, if it wasn't for a higher minimum wage all coming at the same time as this challenge online, then maybe some of these companies would have had longer to adapt and may have actually survived to see another day. But it seems like the culmination of all of these factors is creating a situation where a lot of them are struggling and it's gone too far.
But isn't this the way the world's economies evolve over, you know, decades and centuries? You lose certain industries because technology changes. I mean, we've had many, many examples of that over the last 200 years.
It is. But the problem I have is it's not often that you see such a rapid depreciation in a sector. And you have to wonder how many jobs are going to be lost before the government actually maybe steps in. The last time I remember so many of these stores being shut down, and even then I don't remember it being quite so prolific, was after the financial crisis when we lost the likes of Woolworths and we saw a number of other high street chains closing as a result. But the problem is we're not in a recession. This is purely a number of different factors culminating in what is a relatively healthy economy to cause this problem whereby jobs are being lost and stores are closing.
Perfect storm for the high street, I'm afraid. Craig, thanks very much for joining us this week. Until next time, have a great week.
You too.
From the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, a daily early morning 30-minute briefing for the day ahead. On air from 6 a.m. Listen to Jazz FM on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.